Welcome to the Jesse Peterson Show. Today, we're doing a two-part series on black men that are homeless. As I've said before, and many of you may know about now, I am the founding president of an organization called BOND. And BOND is Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, Rebuilding the Black Community by Rebuilding the Black Man. I want to add here is that even though the focus is on the black man, the doors are open to everyone. It's not just limited to the black man. Everyone is invited to be a part of BOND. As I look around, I can see that the black men have a serious problem. And among many things, there are more homeless black men than ever before. And the sad thing about it, it's not because they lack money. It's not because they don't have families. There's something else wrong. And we're trying to understand what that is. Today, we have Chaplain
Bernard
with me today. I'm sorry, I had to remember so many names. Chaplain Bernard, are we doing the right thing in helping the black man in the way that the mission is doing? Is that the right kind of help for them?
I certainly believe that it is. I've seen many who have received help through the missions, and yes, I think right now it's a necessity.
What type of help does the mission provide, the Union Rescue Mission provide for the black man?
Well, what the Union Rescue Mission does is amazing. Men can come in off the street, men with no hope, men with no sense of direction, men who are in despair, and they can come in dirty, uneducated, and they can apply for a program if they want to clean up. They can say, I want to get in a program. I want to change my life.
The program consists of what?
The program consists of you have a bed, you have three meals, you can get clothing from the clothing basement, and then you can become involved in a 12-step program, 12 easy steps that show how we need to start on the road to recovery.
Can you go to the mic for me, please? What's your name?
Delbert.
And Delbert, you're a part of the Union Rescue Mission, right?
Yes, I am.
And how long have you been there?
6.5 months.
6.5 months. And have you been in other programs before that, prior to that?
Yes, I have.
Which one?
Kazi House.
Kazi House. And
yeah.
Is it the same type of situation you're in now?
No, it's not.
What's the difference in the two programs?
Because it teaches you about Christ, man.
And the other one didn't?
No, it didn't.
Did you know about Christ before the Union Rescue Mission?
Yeah, I did, but then again, I didn't. Because the things that I'm learning now, I'm learning that, you know, Jesus died for me, you know, and he helps me a lot. Things that I'm doing now, I wouldn't put God ahead, you know, ahead of my life, but now I'm doing it now.
Okay, and how do you put God ahead of your life?
Because I have faith and I pray before I do anything.
Anything like what?
Before I go to school, before I eat, before I go to work in the morning, before I go to Bible study, before I go to my meetings, before I talk to my mom, my parents, anything, I have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what did that do for you?
It just gave me encouragement, man, because you have to have faith. If you don't have faith, it ain't going to work.
What is faith?
Believe something that you can't see.
Meaning? I don't understand.
Other words, I believe that Christ died for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like by me going through this program, without God, I know I can't make it. With him, all things are possible. That was his word, right?
Right, right.
Okay, by me being an ex-gang member, and by me being in the rescue mission, turned my life a complete turnaround.
Okay, that's good that you mentioned that you're an ex-gang member.
Mm-hmm.
Let me first ask you this. I'm sure coming from a black family, most of us have already heard that Jesus saved, put Jesus first, and say, you've
right.
heard the words before from your
right.
mom and dad, right.
right?
Especially from your mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did it have any meaning to your life at that time?
Not really.
And why?
Because I didn't pay no attention. I didn't believe. I was doing what I wanted to do.
Were you rebelling against your parents?
Yes.
You did? And why was that?
I don't know. Just wanted to.
You don't know? I mean,
you always been hard-headed. Okay,
did your father raise you or just your mom?
My mom.
Okay. And you was hard-headed toward your mother?
Yeah.
And why?
just being hard at it. Like, if she told me to do something, I wanted to do the opposite, right, just to see what was going to happen.
Did you resent her for doing that? Did I anger? Let me explain resentment. A lot of time, I know with my mom or grandmother, when they would tell me to do something, I got mad in here. I didn't want to do it. I resented that. Did you feel that same resentment for
no.
that? So why didn't you want to do it then?
Just didn't want to.
You didn't. And did that drive you to gang members, to become members of gang?
Sort of? Yeah.
Okay. What did the gang, being a part of a gang, do for you?
Well, you know, like, I always liked to be part of a crowd, right?
Uh-huh.
And by me and my homies, we used to, like, get together and drink 40 ounces, didn't go to school, and just being hard-headed, man, that's what I wanted to do.
Did you feel a sense of fulfillment being with them?
Yeah.
Did you have that emptiness before that? Before that?
Yeah.
Have you discovered where that emptiness come from?
No, not yet.
You haven't. No. And so, let me ask this then. I'm glad that you told me. I've always wanted to ask a gang member this. How can one black kill another one?
Easy.
Meaning what?
Well,
you want to go? You can go to the mic too. We can take both of you. You together. What's your name? No, I want. Okay. What's your name, buddy?
Talk.
No, go ahead, talk.
Jared.
Just talk. Yeah.
My name is Jared. I'm known as JJ.
Okay. Were you a part of a gang member as well?
Yes, I was.
How can one black kill another?
It's easy because when
talk to the mic. Okay.
Okay. It's easy because when you're a part of a gang and you're out there, and you know, like I knew about Christ at this time going into being a gang member, but it was like, Christ didn't move fast enough for me, all right? Or things, negative things would happen, which we call trials and tribulations.
Okay, yeah, put the mic. We have a problem with the mic there. Just turn it around in the middle so your friend can talk to you. And just stand and talk into the mic.
All right. It's like when you know about Christ, okay, and you go through what Christian calls trials and tribulations, all right? You don't want to go through that because you don't understand what trials and tribulations. How could God allow me to go through this? How could God allow me to be hurt like this? How could God take a family member who I love? You know, and I don't understand these things. So a whole lot of time in my Christian walk, I just walked away. All right.
And so when it come time to kill a black, it's
okay.
What makes you do it, though? I don't understand.
All right.
Do you just? I mean, are you so angry on the inside until there's a way allowing it to go out?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean,
have you discovered where that anger come from, though?
I have discovered where my anger comes
from. Where did yours come from?
Mine came from my household. I didn't even like myself. But yet, at the same time, I wanted to be the baddest kid on the block.
Uh-huh.
All right? And all this negativeness, I feed it on it. I wanted to be the baddest, the best of anything according to the gang. I wanted people to fear me. And so I projected that image of fear.
So in other words, you was insecure and you used this false illusion to look secure. Is that right?
Well, you know what? I was one of the gang members who I didn't need a crowd. I was like a lone assassin. I would go out and do my dirt by myself. But as long as my homeboys knew that I got the job done, that's all I needed. I wanted their praise. Because I was shooting to be the shot caller myself. And these are the things that was important to me.
Okay, let me ask this. And then I want to ask, let me ask you this question. What's your name again?
Delbert.
Okay. Delbert, when a gang member kill a child and they go off and they hear it on the news, do they have remorse about that?
It depends, man. Because say what you're talking about, like a drive-by, if an innocent bystander get hit, you know, I would feel bad, man. But if it's, you know, I don't know, you know, like, I would feel bad, me personal, right? Because, you know, it could happen, like, if you're in the way and a bullet don't have no eyes, mm-hmm. right? I would hate for someone to get hit. Me personally, I will feel bad.
Okay.
You know?
So how is the mission helping you to overcome that now? I mean, you said Christ, right?
Yeah.
But what is Christ doing? See, everybody say Christ, right?
See, okay,
and I want to understand, for me, let's say I didn't know Christ and I didn't know how he worked. How do he help you overcome that problem?
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to understand.
All right, let's go back to the basics, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right, when we got into the program, right, we start learning about ourselves and who we are and what we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so we start studying the Bible, okay, and learn, you know, but you have to want it order to believe and go back to faith. See, like you saying, everybody say praise the Lord and whatever like that. Sometimes you wouldn't even know that I'm saved would always have them in my heart because I believe that.
Okay. Have you dealt with it?
I know by us working at the mission and in the program, right, and the things that we go through, you know, get spit on for feeding people, getting cursed at, and all of that. Normally, I would bomb on this dude. But, you know, I look at him and say, God bless you, and walk away. And then I'm still sober with it.
And then we'll take you, and then I'll come back to you. I don't mean to leave it.
That's quite
Have you forgiven your parents for what they've done to you?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
And how do you know that you have?
Because it's in my heart. Because first I have to forgive myself for what I've done to myself. Then I forgive them.
And what did you forgive them for?
Well, for, you know, the problems that we had. And I forgive my dad for walking away out of my mom, you know, walking away from my life.
And then what did you forgive yourself for?
For taking me through the changes that I'm going through and where I'm standing right now for being at the Union Mission.
Were you a weak man before now?
Yeah.
And are you strong now?
Yeah, I am.
And what does strength mean to you?
A lot, man. I'm strong in God.
I mean, when you say you're strong, what do you mean?
Well, you know, for us being a black man, everybody say we're weak. But at certain things, we are strong physically, and we're learning to be strong mentally. But what we have to do is stick together, man. And see, that, I didn't have unity towards another black man. I didn't have that.
Did you hate black men?
When they ran red, yeah.
When they did what?
Wearing red.
Wearing red?
Yeah.
Oh, when they wearing red.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you mean.
You know, that was my trip,
okay.
You know, and I thank God that I'm from that.
I do too.
But, you know, I'm learning to deal with my brother, right? And, you know, I get along with all blacks because we as one. You know, we all as one, man.
Okay.
That's how you got to be.
Okay, let's take the lady in the back, and then I'll come back to my guest.
I think the same.
Can you speak up, okay?
I think the same emptiness that drove some people to drugs and some people to gangs or both. It starts in the home because I think a lot of young men who go that way are really angry, even if they don't even realize it, because their father, 9 times out of 10, has left the situation, and they don't have that male strength to draw from. So they're going to draw from whatever is available.
Mm-hmm.
And with the gangs, I'm sure that they have a lot of different levels of it where they're looking for that approval of whoever is the baddest gang member. So even if it's a negative situation, they need that male approval, that male bonding, that togetherness. So I think that has a lot to do with why people would get into the gangs.
That's it?
Yeah, well, I wanted to say another thing. I used to take drugs and, well, marijuana, and which is, you know, a drug, and Red Devils, and, you know, I really didn't drink that much. But I can remember doing it because I was insecure. My parents, they were together, but they never encouraged me. They never put that faith or...
Did you resent them for that?
I had to resent them to, you know, because I felt that if they were right, then I could be right. So I think I was angry at them.
Yeah.
And I want to say one thing. So I think that's the emptiness that people feel when they go towards drugs and they're trying to fulfill that. Also about the mission, I've heard a lot of things about the mission, and I think the reason why the mission probably works a lot better than the other other little drug places and stuff, it's because I think they live what they preach. See, and that's why a lot of the guys say, yeah, they heard their mothers talking about Jesus and doing, but they weren't living it. They were just talking about it. So when you live it, then you can, people feel it. It becomes real. That's the big difference, I think. And
Thank
that's
you.
It.
I want to ask you about the Father. You can go to the mic. How important is the Father to, you know, a lot of black men don't have Father, as they were saying right now. The Father's just not there. And if he's there, he's not there in the proper way. How important is that to us, that we should have a Father? Is it important, first of all?
Well, I suppose, yes, a father figure is important. But I'd like to just say something. In a recent research that we went into in dysfunctional families, I found out in that research, again, this was by one of a noted speaker from New York. His name is Tom Skinner. we found out that even in dysfunctional families where fathers have abandoned their homes and leave the rearing of their children just to the mothers, that we would not have so much of a difficulty, even with gangs, if we had some of the male figures in the neighborhood. Let's say Mr. Smith next door, he come up, he went to UCLA, he came back, he opened his law office, and he was living in the community, and people saw that. They know his car, they know everything. The gang members will respect him. They won't steal his car. They'll say, man, hands off, Mr. Smith, he's okay. But when Mr. Smith moves out into suburbia because he do not want to live among the blacks, there's too much gang, he don't want to bring up his daughter there, she may get raped, and he too moves out as a black man, then it leaves the community empty. And those next door and those fatherless boys who don't even see another male figure doing well, yes, that's one of the reasons.
We have to go to a break now. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Much has been said about the older worker. We found them to be very dependable, and they're here because they want to be here. They're very useful. They like being in a place where they feel a sense of importance. We have not had any problems as far as them learning to interact with the computer. They've been willing and eager, and they're proud. They have a great sense of pride about what they do.
Senior citizens who are either retired or semi-retired offer more responsibility on the job and off. They do not come in looking for just something to get by on. They want to be a part of something. You get that great participation when you hire a senior.
I'm one of the fortunate ones. I'm 76, but I can still work.
Employers, list your job opportunities with our free job hotline. Phone 939-0391.
Welcome back to the program. We're discussing the homeless men, black men that are homeless. We're trying to understand what's going on. You want to make a statement first before we go on?
Well, not so. I just, my opinion. You know, I've heard a few brothers get up here and share it about, you know.
A little closer to the mic for me.
You asked them about, you know, what made them do whatever,
right.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And why did you feel a need? And it was a lot of why questions. And it's something that you can't feel, taste, or touch. Okay, and that's God, and God has always been within all of us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like when we was born, he was there, you know. It's just along the years, we forgot from where we was created, and,
right.
and that was with God,
right.
okay. And it's like you're raised into a family this dysfunctional that don't believe in certain things, and they come to understand that, hey, well, maybe we're living a wrong life. Maybe we need to improve in different areas of how we're raising our children, how we're dealing with each other. And it's like, for me, myself, I've dealt with drugs and alcohol, and I consider that a dual addiction. And it's hard for me to have to deal with my children and express how things went wrong in my life and show them that, hey, that's not the way to go, that there is a better way.
Right.
Okay, so it's like the only way that I can do that is with the help of God, okay? Mm-hmm. I can't tell everybody going down the street or whoever that, hey, God is working in my life, you know. It's just something that it's almost like you have to just show it. You have to be that. You have to live with what you're mm-hmm. speaking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll come across like a bright light. Like a real bright light,
yeah,
you know, and they'll see that coming across,
you know,
and that's what these brothers was really trying to say. It's like you can't put that into words. God is there. He was never lost. We were the ones who were lost.
Okay, let's try to put God into words.
I have another.
I know, but we ran out of time, so you sort of have to cut it short there. All right, thank you, Chaplain. Let's put God into words. I believe that it can be put into words. And I want to try to do that because it is important that we have Christ in our life. And I know for a fact now that that's the only way that we're going to change once we really understand what is going on. One of the responsibilities for the father, and I want to know what you think about this, is to represent Christ. The father has the responsibility to love the truth. That has to be foremost in his life. And it's not the words that he say, but it's the way he live, and that which lives through him. Mm-hmm. It's nothing of his own will, right? He is God to the children. Mm-hmm. He represents everything that God is. He's supposed to represent everything that God is, so that the sons and daughters can look up to the father and just see the way to go. Not by what he's saying, but his patience and how he's dealing with the wife and how he's working and dealing with society. They see that. And because we already have that, it develops within us. It comes out of us because we come in the world with it. And it comes out of us. And as the sons and daughters see the father intertwining with the mother, she love and respect him because he love and respect principles, which is God, right? They naturally grow up that way too, right? Yeah. And when that fails, it causes the kids to fall from grace, from principle, and they fall to anger because kids are innocent, right? And so what happens, the kids fall to anger, most of the time to the mother first, because she's mad about this responsibility. And so the kids begin to hate the father for not being there, and then they hate the mother for depression, which causes us to fall to resentment, to guilt and doubt and all that. And that take us away from grace because the father has failed. And until, like I was asking Daryl earlier, until we can see that we have to forgive the father, forgive the mother, because they did the best they could. They didn't know what they were mm-hmm. doing, right? Mm-hmm. But in our heart, the thing that keep us angry and on drugs and dependent mm-hmm. is that we can't see that we have to forgive in our heart. And as long as we don't forgive in our heart, we can name and claim Jesus, read the Bible, and run around and shout, and we'll never overcome. We have a false notion. Mm-hmm. And until we forgive first, we can never overcome. Is that true?
I certainly agree with that. Sometimes, and I understand what you were saying, and when you were asking the men, how do they know they have Christ?
That's right. You can know.
You can know, but what happened is that a lot of people only go through the motions. They go to meetings, they go to church, they go to AA meetings, but it's not seated deep in their heart. It's just the motions. And there's a difference there. There's a difference with the people who are going to somewhere to get something out of it than for the people who are just going there to go through the motions.
You know what happened? Once we repent, by first just seeing it, because we can't make ourselves repent. But once we see that we are angry and guilty, because it's the guilt that comes from the hate that make us use drugs mm-hmm. and make us have sex and make us kill each other. Mm-hmm. And once we repent, mm-hmm. just by seeing it and taking the pain of it, the guilt fall away and you no longer need the drug and the alcohol, right?
Exactly.
And I think that until the black men and all of us understand that that's the problem, we can never even find God, because we are playing God with ourselves, and we get a false sense of being saved through studying the Word and feeling good about the Word, and that won't last. And I think that's why you have a lot of men coming back to the program once they leave. I want to ask you about saving the men in the way that the mission saved the men. First, I'll take your question.
To this young man here, somebody, I think you asked him something about faith. And I wanted to tell him that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'll give you where you can find that in the Bible afterwards. This question.
Okay, let me ask you this about that. You know, again, I just have a beef with black folks in this Bible thing. And the reason I do, because I've been through that whole thing, and I know all these scriptures, and they all sound right, and they are right. It is right, but it's just intellectual right. I want some feedback from you, too. What does that mean, what you just said? To me,
you sound contradictory to me. You just said
I'm asking you, what do you mean? When you tell this young man faith is a substance ain't hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen, it just don't mean anything. Yes, it's true.
To you.
But how can he apply that to his life? How can I walk out of here and live by that? Make it simple.
If you're going to hope for something.
What am I hoping for?
anything that you want to hope for.
Like what?
If you want to, like this program that you have, you hoped for that, didn't you?
No.
You didn't?
Not at all.
Well, I don't know how to relate to you. Okay. Maybe you're different from everybody
else. And I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm just trying to...
No, well, I'm trying to...
Because it's so serious, I'm trying to make it simple and plain.
But
what did that mean?
I'm trying to tell you that it means just what it says. If it is the substance of things that hope for, anything that you want to hope for, you might not see it right now, but if you have that faith, which is the definition that you just asked for that word, if you have that faith, you might not see it right then, but if you have the faith, you know that it's going to come and it's going to be there. It might not be manifest at that time. It's not manifest at that time. That's just what it's saying.
But don't we hope for the wrong thing?
Not necessarily. Sure, you can hope for wrong things, but not necessarily all the time.
If you ask the average Christian, are you saved? And they say, yes, I'm saved, praise the Lord. He's given me a house. He's given me a car. He's given me a woman. You know, he's given me this. And that's not what God is all about.
Well, who said it was?
Okay. Oh, let me explain. Thank you. Let me just sort of.
Now, I want to ask one question.
Okay, quick.
You know, we talk about laws against abortion, laws against all kinds of things. But I never hear anybody say that it is against the law for gangs. Why is that so?
It's against the law for gangs?
I'm asking, why isn't it? Because it's not. It's not against the law for a gang to be a gang.
I think it's against the law for their actions. But we're running out of time, and this guy is jumping up and down over here in my direction.
Okay.
So let me just say, faith is plain old common sense. Because what happened, go to the mic, what happened is once you forgive, do you agree with that? Once you forgive in your heart, everything that you want outside, because once you forgive, you go back inside, right? And everything that you want outside, it comes to you. I don't have to hope for those things. The only thing I desire is to live a principled, noble man, loving the truth. And in that, he gives me the material thing. What do you think about that? Go ahead.
I believe that the healing process begins from within, as you say. All the resentment, all the things of the past has got to start from inside. Yeah. And once we understand that, then we can project that healing from the inside to the outside.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time again. I'm so sorry. There's so many things I want to cover, but we just don't have the time. I want to thank you for coming today. Also, my audience, I want to thank you. Thank you guys for coming to share your story. Again, thank you. I appreciate that. I really wanted to talk about so many other things.
Protect the family.